Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, you're not Lisa Wolf.
I am not.
Mike Costella is taking Lisa's place tonight because we're playing an episode of The Shadow, and The Shadow was invisible. So is Lisa tonight.
Apparently, yes.
She's invisible. She took the night off. But we're here with a WGN Radio Theater with an hour show because we're getting a little late start because of the Bears post game and quite a game. Ugh, not good, Mike.
I know.
Not good. But you know what? We have a good classic radio show for you with The Shadow on this program, 317 in this series. And it's a 1941 broadcast of The Shadow starring Bill Johnstone. That is coming your way in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What do people win?
The people are going to win a never measure.
Yeah. People want the never measure. I want the never measure.
I do, too.
And the movie is Groundhog Day, one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. Bill Murray, I believe it was shot right here in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, Woodstock, Illinois.
Way back, a long time ago, when you were just a little Mike Costella.
Yeah, I was younger.
You were just a little guy. You weren't even into restoration yet, probably, of classic radio shows.
Probably not at that time.
No. So be the fifth caller, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You could win a never measure, and we're going to play our game right after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote. Brought to you by Cat's Pride.
All right, the movie is Groundhog Day, and we have Carol Ann on the line.
Carol Ann. Hi, Carol Ann. How are you?
Good morning, I should say.
Yeah, good morning.
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, we're doing good. It's good to talk to you, Carol Ann.
Glad to hear it.
Is Roger there? Roger,
I am here.
Oh, Roger's around, too.
Groundhog Day. I got this.
Yeah, all right. I think you will get this, Carol Ann. Let's see. No matter what, you're a winner. You're going to win what? Never measure, right?
Never measure.
All right, so I've never done this.
Sounds terrific.
I've never done this before, Mike. I have it here. Do you have it, or do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
What do you have?
I have all the things. Lisa left it for me.
I made my own up.
Oh, really? I have it here.
Okay, go.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not guessing. It's Carol Ann and Roger guessing, okay?
Oh, okay.
So here's the three quotes. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's quote one. I would love to stay here and talk with you, but I'm not going to. That's number one. Number two, don't say a word to nobody about nothing anytime ever. That's number two. And if I'm not talking, leave me alone. That's number three. Carol Ann, what do you think? One, two, or three?
I'm going to say three.
Number three. What do you think, Roger?
Wow, this is a tricky one.
Yeah, I know,
I'm
tricky.
To remember, you were, that's your middle name. You know what, I'm going to go with number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
All right, so number one is, I would love to stay here and talk with you, but I'm not going to. Let's see what it is.
I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to.
Oh, I win!
This is
a miracle.
Good. This might be the first time Roger ever got one right.
I know.
Really?
Mark the tape. Oh my goodness!
So don't feel bad, Carol Ann, because he's done this for a year now.
They say try again.
This is right. But Carol Ann's a big winner, no matter what.
You've got another measure.
Yeah.
You will easily center level and hang all your wall decorations fast, and eliminate the need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. It's veteran owned and made in the USA. You can get yours at nevermeasure.com, but we are giving you one.
We're sending you one, Carol Ann.
It sounds terrific. I can't wait to get it.
You are a big winner. All right, but stay tuned.
I love your program.
So you're the best. Stay tuned because The Shadow's coming up here, so you don't want to miss that.
I will be stayed. I will be tuned in.
All right, beautiful. Stay right by
thanks
your radio.
A lot.
Thanks,
hey,
son.
Thank you, Carol Ann.
You too. Thank you so much.
Oh, good morning, I should
yeah.
say.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Now.
Bye-bye. All right, Roger, congratulations. You got one right.
Thank
it's
you.
Only been a year. So
yeah, what do I win? Other than
you
your
win
praise
my,
and respect.
Yeah, you win my lifetime gratitude and good wishes.
Hey, aren't you making money off the little jingle for the...
Yeah, he gets a,
the only
he gets
thing
a penny.
I get off the jingle is a jingle.
He gets a penny a jingle.
Yeah, wow. I'm so rich.
You're wealthy now. Yeah. You're almost as wealthy as Lamont Cranston.
Yes.
Wealthy young man about town. One of the most popular mystery detective shows of all time, and I know you're a big fan,
mm-hmm.
Roger.
That's right.
It started in the 1930s, but really it started as just a narrator of stories out of Street and Smith magazine. But then in 1937, they retooled the whole show. It wasn't a narrator anymore. They actually did a radio dramatization of a guy by the name of Lamont Cranston, who was this wealthy young man about town who learned the secret of invisibility by clouding men's minds. So he would cloud your mind, and then as the shadow, he would fight for law and order. And he had a girlfriend named Margot Lane. And there's a little controversy as to, is Margot have a T at the end of it or not? Sometimes I read M-A-R-G-O, and other times I read M-A-R-G-O-T.
Huh.
So I don't know. I really don't know the answer to
that.
So they stumped me there. Orson Welles was radio's first Lamont Cranston, 1937. He was only like 20-something, like 22 years old. He was playing the shadow on radio.
Nice.
And then Bill Johnstone took over, then John Archer, then Brett Morrison. And various actresses, including Agnes Moorehead, played the lovely Margot Lane. The radio series lasted until 1954. Of course, there were serials in the theaters. There were movies. And then there was a short-lived TV series. And then Alec Baldwin played him in a big motion picture in I think it was like 1994 or something like that. But we have an episode now from 1941, November 16th. It's called The Case of the Three Frightened Policemen. It stars Bill Johnstone. Here's part one of The Shadow.
The thrilling adventures of the Shadow are on the air, brought to you each week at this time by your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. The old saying, better be safe than sorry, certainly applies today in the matter of heating your home. If your coal bin isn't already filled to the top, call your friendly neighborhood Blue Coal dealer and have him attend to the matter right now. Blue Coal, you know, is the quality home fuel of low cost. It will give you even, dependable heat at all times. Yes, and it's a wise move to have your bin full of Blue Coal clear to the top. These are uncertain times, and it's best to be safe. Don't gamble with the health of your family. Remember, a warm house is a healthy house. So get in touch with your nearest Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and powerful secret. The secret of hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Case of the Three Frightened Policemen.
Why fool around? You got to get up early in the morning to put one over on Jerry Rowan. I got you right where I want you. Now you take your orders from me, or stop that walking up and down. You make me nervous. Well, what's your answer going to be? You going to pay your little gambling debt to Jerry Rowan? Are you? Now listen. Listen to me. It's all right. Don't come any closer. Stay from me. You can't kill Jerry Rowan.
What time is Commissioner Weston's plane getting in, Lamont?
Well, according
to... Non-stop flight 36, arriving from Washington at gate 6.
There you are, Margo. You see how efficient the airlines are? They even answer your questions for you. Gate 6 is up this way.
Do you think Commissioner Weston's going to be difficult to persuade?
Well, you know him as well as I do, Margo. But he'll never forgive you for sending that telegram with my name on it.
Oh, here we are. Gate 6.
Yeah. And that would be the commissioner's plane.
Flight 22 from Chicago, arriving at gate 3.
Look, Lamont, there's the Chicago plane coming in, too. Don't they come in fast, though?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lamont, look.
What are you staring at, Margot? You act like you've never seen a plane before.
I'm not looking at the plane, Lamont. I was looking at that man over there at gate 3. Isn't he the man who we heard asking for Commissioner Weston?
Where? Oh, yes, so it is.
Well, we ought to tell him he's waiting at the wrong gate for the commissioner.
You'll probably discover his mistake before we could get to him, Margo.
Oh, there you are, Cranston, Miss Lane.
Hello, Commissioner. Did you have a nice trip?
No, thanks. I just had one.
Oh, Commissioner, that's an old gag.
Well, it's not as old as that telegram gag you sent me, Cranston. Come immediately. Very important.
What did you mean by that?
What did you mean by that?
It was Margo's idea. She sent it.
Margo sent the wire?
Commissioner, you know that I belong to the Social Welfare Association.
Now, what has that got to do with it?
Well, I promised that I'd get you to speak on crime prevention. It's cause and cure.
What?
Curing crime prevention? I don't blame you, Commissioner. It sounds a little mad to me, too.
A speech on crime prevention.
Oh, well, please say you'll do it. I gave my solemn promise
well,
that you'd be there.
Well, this is the limit of all the nonsense.
You're making a mistake. I'm not Tom Vito.
Aren't you?
What's that over there?
Well, if you're not Vito, you can prove it later at headquarters.
There seems to be some trouble, Commissioner.
Yes, it does.
Why, that's the man who was looking for you, Commissioner.
Looking for me, huh? Oh, he's just picked up someone. All right, folks, stand back there. Let me through.
Well, don't mind me, please.
Wait there, please. Let me in there.
You can't do this to me.
What's going on
here? I can't
here?
Do this. Oh, Commissioner Weston. I just picked this guy up coming in from Chicago.
Fine. Who is he? Incidentally, who are you?
Detective Sloan of the Detroit Force. And this is the murderer of the gambler, Jerry Rowan. His name is Tom Vitor.
I'm not Vitor.
Commissioner, look at this photograph in this police circular. Is this Vitor?
It's just a similarity, I tell you.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Similarity, huh? Come on, Vito. We're going down to headquarters. Let us through here, please.
Commissioner, wait! Commissioner, I've got to talk to you.
I'm sorry, Miss Lane. It's business. Come on, Vito.
But the social welfare is going to... Oh, Don.
What's the matter, Margo? Did the Social Welfare Association lose its principal speaker?
Not yet, it hasn't. I'm going to follow Commissioner Weston right to police headquarters and get him to say that he will speak tomorrow night.
Fingerprints don't lie, Vitor. Ready to confess now?
Why did you kill Gambler Rowan?
I didn't kill Rowan.
But you do admit you are Vitor. That you broke your parole and flew to Chicago after you'd murdered Rowan?
All right, I broke my parole. I flew to Chicago, but I didn't murder Rowan.
I'd like to ask Vitor a few questions, if I may, Commissioner Weston.
Now, Cranston, Detective Sloan and I can handle this.
Oh, Commissioner, I just thought of something.
What, Miss Lane? What now?
You could use all this as the subject of your talk tomorrow night before the Social Welfare Association.
Sloan, take Vita into the other office. This small talk must be boring to him.
Right, Commissioner. Come on, Vitor.
I'm sorry, Mac.
Ah, well, another case solved to the department's credit.
Who? Vitor?
Who else? He was the last man who saw Rowan alive.
Now, look, Commissioner.
I know, Cranston. Yes, indeed. You're going to ask about fingerprints. Well, we found Vita's prints all over Rowan's apartment.
Very good, Commissioner.
Huh?
But I was going to ask why Vitor broke his parole to fly to Chicago.
Very good, Cranston. He simply wanted to get away.
Then why did he come back?
Also very good. What?
Granted, he had killed Rowan and gotten away. Why should he want to come back here?
Yes, Commissioner, why didn't he stay in Chicago?
Now, please, Miss Lane.
And this police circular is a very curious thing, Commissioner.
What do you mean, Cranston? What's wrong with it?
Pardon me, Commissioner, but I think Vitor is about ready to talk now.
Oh, good. Well, I'll go right in and see him. See you later, Cranston.
But, Commissioner...
Miss Lane, come on.
But, Commissioner, I want to... I like him. Oh, well. Now, what were you going to say about that police circular, Lamont?
Now look at it, Margot. Wouldn't you think it strange that a police circular from Chicago would have been printed here?
Why, yes. Look, here's the printer's trademark. Well, what does it mean, Lamont?
It means, Margot, that Tom Vitor is going to receive a little visit from the Shadow. Tom Vitor.
What's that?
I heard a voice.
It is the voice of the Shadow, Tom Vitor.
I can't see you.
I'm right here outside your cell door. I've cast a hypnotic mist over your mind, which makes me invisible.
I've heard of you, Shadow. You gotta help me. I didn't kill Jerry Rowan.
Why did you leave town the same day Rowan was murdered?
I didn't know anything about Rowan's murder, Shadow.
But you had been to Rowan's apartment that afternoon.
Yes, Rowan had sent for me. He wanted me to join the mob again, but I refused. That was the last I saw of him.
And yet that same evening, Mr. Vitor, you violated your parole by flying to Chicago.
Well, when I got back to my apartment, there was a message telling me that my wife was there. She left me. I had to tell her that I was gone straight for her sake.
So that's why you went to Chicago?
Yes. To ask her to give me another chance.
I see. Then why did you come back, Mr. Vitor?
I couldn't find her in Chicago. Then I received another tip that she'd come back here and was staying at the Carlson Hotel with her friend Elsie Randley.
What you've told me, Mr. Vitor, wouldn't stand a chance in a court of law.
Court or no court, it's true.
We shall see, Mr. Vitor. We shall see.
Lamont, did you find anything out from Vitor?
I don't know yet, Margot. Oh, by the way, where's Shrevey?
He's waiting in his cab around the corner.
Well, let's find him.
All right. Oh, I'm getting hungry, Lamont. Do you think you could possibly buy a poor little starving social worker some dinner?
Well, I shall buy a poor little starving social worker a big dinner.
Oh, Lamont.
Later.
Oh, Lamont.
Right now, the Shadow is going to call on Mrs. Tom Vitor and her friend Elsie Randley at the Carlson Hotel.
Oh, well, then we could have dinner there, couldn't we, Lamont?
Oh, why, yes, we could. Later.
Oh, Lamont!
Down, Margot. They're firing at us.
Oh, we can get off the street now, Lamont. Looks like the shooting's over. Lamont! Lamont! Well, he's been hit!
What's the matter, lady?
Get a doctor quickly! He's been shot!
Cranston, you had a very narrow escape. A fraction of an inch to the right and...
Thanks, Doctor. I fully realize how close it was.
Can I help you, Lamont?
Doggone it, Cranston. This only goes to prove what I've always said. Amateurs shouldn't meddle in police work.
Now, you leave him alone, Commissioner. Can't you see he's still weak?
What were you doing outside police headquarters in the middle of a gunfight anyway?
Commissioner, I wasn't in the middle of a gunfight. I was the target.
And if you ask any more questions, you're going to be my target,
please,
Commissioner.
Please, who's out for you, Cranston?
I have a hunch it's got something to do with Tom Vitor and the Rowan murder.
So Vitor shot at you, huh? We've got him under lock and key.
No, it wasn't Vitor who took a shot at
me. Now, look here, Cranston. Vitor is the killer and that's that. Let's not confuse...
Commissioner,
What is it, Sloan?
Vitor has hanged himself from a water pipe in his cell.
Hanged himself? No. Such a thing is impossible.
Well, I'm telling you, Commissioner...
Hey, just a moment. Then it would appear Vitor took his own life?
Obviously. Oh, yes, that's right. His only out was to cheat the chair.
Well, gentlemen, if Vitor committed suicide, we have a horse here of a decidedly different color.
Oh, boy. That's the first portion of The Shadow. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Roger.
Yes?
I want to thank you for joining the Classic Radio Club.
Yeah, so I did that a little earlier tonight.
Yeah, and I saw your name come through.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that first package, because you know how many of those shows that I just love. And, of course, who's on first?
Yep.
Right?
No, and who's on just, first is in there.
It just and I just got my grandgirls last week to watch it for the first time.
Oh, jeez. You saw it on a TV show or something?
Yeah, one of those many different video versions.
Yep.
And it took them a while. They kept giving me this look.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to explain it. I'd pause it and explain it. And they kept looking at me. And then at one point, I can't remember exactly where, maybe when they were talking about the outfield, all of a sudden I heard this laugh out of both of them.
Right.
And so it's for the ages.
Yeah.
It's for the ages. And you got so much stuff on this one. You got Have Gun, Will Travel, Inner Sanctum, Suspense, Jack Benny, Fibber, McGee and Molly, one of my favorite.
Yeah.
You got some, and this is just the first?
Yeah, the way this is working, I decided to create a club for all of our listeners, a classic radio club. People listening to this show, they love classic radio. Why not do a club for everybody where they can get 10 shows that I'm going to handpick from my 100,000 plus shows? Now, when I say I'm handpicking them, I am listening to make sure that the quality is amazing all the way through them. Plus, I'm picking the most interesting shows from the library of 100,000 shows, and I'm putting them on 5 CDs and putting them in a collector case. But these are not burned CDs. These are actually replicated CDs from a CD replicator. So they're like CDs you would buy in a store. And the very first time you'll get your 5 CD collection, which you just signed up for, and you only paid $4.99 for that. Yeah, 5 CDs. Fantastic. That's $1 a CD.
Yeah.
And it's 50 cents a classic radio show. Plus it's in a case, and you'll get liner notes that I've written. And you'll never receive a duplicate show, no matter how long you are in the club. So hopefully you'll stay in the club 30, 40, 60, 90 years.
Well, I'm young.
Yeah.
Actually, you were talking about the episode we're listening to of The Shadow.
Yeah, The Shadow.
That the show went to 1954.
Went to 1954.
I was 2 years old then.
Wow, Roger.
Yeah, I am that old.
Wow. Well, you're going to get 10 shows, the ones I pick, every single month, sent to your home. So just think, you'll go to your mailbox mm-hmm. once a month, and there will be a 5 CD collection in there with liner notes. You're going to pop them in the CD player. They're going to be the best quality you've ever heard, the most interesting shows from the golden age of radio. You will never receive a duplicate show. And you just signed up, and I thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I'll be getting the first one, and then a month later, I'll get the next one.
That's right.
I'll be excited to see which ones are on that one.
Yeah, now, folks, if you want to join the Classic Radio Club, it's very, very easy. Just log on to Classic Radio Club. .com, classicradioclub.com. Read all about it. The website's very easy to read. Just sign up. We'd love to have you part of this. We've had tons of people signing up to this, Roger, and I can't wait to each month send 10 more shows to people on 5 CDs. So yeah. You'll get yours in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. And they can augment those that they get each month with your shows every weekend right here on WGN.
That's right. That's right, Roger. Thank you for that. And thanks for signing up. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, let's get back now to The Shadow.
Now, back to The Shadow.
Hey, Mr. Cranston, Miss Lane. It's already 3 o'clock in the morning. It's already... Don't you think it's advisable that we should all go home and get a little shut-eye we should get?
Perhaps we ought to take Miss Lane home, Shreve. She's sound asleep here in the back seat.
No, I'm not. I'm wide awake. I just close my eyes to rest them.
Okay, Margot, have it your way. On to 6078 Front Street, Shreve.
Yes, sir. Mine is not the reason why.
That's the
mine
city morgue, Shreve.
It's just a door died. The morgue?
Which were you driving, Shreve?
As if I wouldn't from now on, sir.
Why the morgue, Lamont?
Because I can't believe, as Commissioner Weston does, that Vitor committed suicide. I want to see the body myself.
I don't like to bring it up, but this is 6078 Front Street. The morgue, remember?
Very well, Shreve. Oh, and Margot, I think you'd better stay here and guard Shreve. He's a little green around the gills.
Oh, Lamont.
Oh, yes, Miss Lane, around the gills, but not a little.
Oh, Shreve, you're a big baby.
I won't be long, Margot.
Well, see that you aren't, Lamont.
What can I do for you, young man? If you're looking for a room and bath, I can't accommodate you. You ain't the right type.
Very funny.
I think so. Room and bath, right type. Get it?
I'd like to see the body of Tom Vitor, which was brought in here earlier this evening.
Ah, Tom Vitor, huh? Let's see.
I would like to see the body, please.
Don't be impatient, young man. He'll wait for you. Get it? He'll wait for you.
I get it. Now, will you please take me to the body?
Oh. No sense of humor. All right this way. Don't be surprised if he don't recognize you because he... Oh, no, you wouldn't appreciate it. Yes, here we are. Let me see. All right, step in.
Thanks.
Now, let me see. I think we have your friend packed way up here. Yeah. Here's your friend, mister. Tucked neatly away on his little trundle bed of ice. You want to look?
Yes. Just as I thought.
What?
This man didn't die of hanging.
Death caused by strangulation at his own hands, it says here.
I don't care what it says there. He didn't commit suicide. Tom Peter met his death just as Jerry Rowan did, by murder.
Did you learn anything at the morgue, Lamont?
Enough, Margot, to know that the Shadow's next step is to have Mrs. Tom Peter identify her husband's photograph, which appears on this forged police circular.
Hello? Hello? Oh, all right, operator. I'll call later.
Oh. Whom were you calling on the phone, Mrs. Vitor?
What? I thought I heard a voice.
It is the Shadow's voice, Mrs. Vitor.
Who are you? I can't see you.
I've clouded your mind with a hypnotic mist, making me invisible to your eyes.
Oh, I see. But why have you come here, Shadow?
Because I know that you can tie up several loose ends of a mystery.
Well, I don't know how I can help.
You can help by telling me who you were trying to reach on the telephone just now.
Why, it was Elsie Randley, my roommate. She's staying with me here. She hasn't returned home, and I just got worried.
I see. Look at the picture on this police circular, Mrs. Victor.
Why, it's Tom, my husband.
Have you ever seen this particular photograph before?
Yes, I took it about 5 years ago.
Before you decided to divorce your husband, Mrs. Vitor?
You know that, too?
I do. Why did you run away, Mrs. Vitor?
Well, my love for Tom had died. And
you fell in love with somebody else?
Yes.
Why didn't you explain everything to your husband?
Oh, I wanted to, Shadow, but I was persuaded not to. I'll go to him now. He'll understand.
No, Mrs. Vitor. It's too late now.
Too late?
Your husband is dead.
Oh, no. No.
Your husband was murdered.
Tom was...
murdered, Mrs. Vitor. And you could help me catch his murderer by telling me who could have obtained the photograph which appears in this forged police circular.
Yes. Yes, Shadow. The only person who could have stolen that picture from me is...
Oh! Mrs. Vitor! Oh. Mrs. Vitor!
I knew he'd do this. He's very determined, Shadow.
Who, Mrs. Vitor? Who has done this?
I can't tell now, Shadow. Because it haunt me even after death. Even after death.
So, Commissioner, you think at last you have the real murderer under lock and key.
Who else could it be but Elsie Randley?
After all, Mr. Cranston, she was Mrs. Vita's roommate, and besides, she had good reason to kill her.
Really? What reason?
Cranston,
try to follow.
Elsie Randley killed Mrs. Vita because...
Commissioner Weston?
Yes?
I'm Lieutenant Destro of the Chicago Detective Bureau.
What can I do for you, Lieutenant?
A little explaining. Why did you pick up Tom Vitor for the murder of Jerry Rowan?
Because his police circular demanding his arrest was sent out by your office.
That circular was forged.
What? Just what I was trying to tell you, Commissioner. The real murderer was trying to throw suspicion on Tom Vitor.
So what? Murderer is Elsie Randley, and I've got her in the state prison.
You think so, Commissioner?
Sure. She killed Rowan because he gave her the brush off. She used to be his girlfriend. Then she killed Mrs. Vitor because she was afraid Mrs. Vitor would spill it to the police. Simple enough.
There's just one little point you gentlemen seem to have overlooked.
What?
Who killed Tom Vitor?
He killed himself.
Commissioner, Tom Vitor was beaten to death in the same way that Rowan was.
Huh?
It was a very professional job. You couldn't tell his head had been bashed in unless you examined it very carefully. I saw his body in the morgue.
Cranston, I tell you, Elsie Randley is the killer, and I'm sticking to it. What do you think, Sloan?
That's the way I figure it, Chief.
How do you feel about it, Destro?
Sounds logical to me.
All sticking your necks out together, eh? Well, Commissioner, if anything happens to Miss Elsie Randley, your so-called killer, you're going to be three frightened policemen.
Lamont, are you sure that Elsie Randley is completely innocent?
Margot, I think she's innocent, but I have reason to believe she knows the name of the murderer. And because of this knowledge, he'll try to silence her, too.
But she's perfectly safe. She's locked up.
That didn't save Tom Vito, Margot. We've got to protect her. Now, look, I want you to go to the state prison and get to Elsie Randley's cell while I trail Detective Destro. I don't care how you get to her cell, but do it. Her life depends on it.
Here we are, Miss Lane. Elsie Randley's cell.
Hi, it's dark in here at this time of night.
Yes. Oh, now before we go in, I must warn you again that neither the warden nor Commissioner Weston know that I'm letting you see Miss Randley. It would mean my job if they did.
Oh, I understand, Detective Sloan.
Go in, please.
Thank you.
Who's your friend, Detective?
Miss Randley, meet Miss Lane. You two are going to be together a long time.
What do you mean?
I'm getting sick of this whole thing, Sloan. I don't want to go to the chair for... somebody else?
Well, then tell us who the real murderer is, Miss Randley. Don't shield a killer.
I don't squeal, sister.
But you will, Elsie.
Oh, no, I won't. I gave my promise.
You'll break your promise, Elsie, when the electric chair stares you in the face.
Oh, he's right, Miss Randley. Tell the police what you know.
Yes, Elsie, tell. You can tell Miss Lane everything.
Are you kidding?
Elsie is trying to say that I'm the killer, Miss Lane.
You're the killer?
Yes. I killed Rowan because I owed him a gambling debt and couldn't pay it.
What?
So I sent Vitor to Chicago on a wild goose chase to find his wife. That way, I pinned the murder on him.
Are you crazy? Spilling that, Sloan?
But the police circular.
I had the phony circular made up in order to grab him when he got off the plane. You know, I'm proud of the fact that when I beat him to death in this very room and hanged him from that water pipe, that none of the smart cops knew how it was done.
And you must have killed Mrs. Vitor, too.
Mrs. Vitor made a very useful tool until she outlived her usefulness and wanted to squeal to the police. But enough of that. I have a score to settle with you two now.
Now, wait, Joe. You can't do this.
You won't have to watch long, Elsie. You're going to die first, Miss Lane. Now, we just open this door here to the death chamber.
So that's the electric chair in there.
Sloan, you can't do this.
No, help! Help! No, no!
Shame on you, Miss Lane. We're quite alone here. No one will hear you.
What are you going to do with this?
Aren't you both rather impatient?
Mr. Cranston will stop you. He'll...
I promise my shots won't miss that meddler the second time. And now, Miss Lane, into the electric chair you go.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes.
No!
Yes. Yes.
No!
Yes.
No!
There. There, now.
Let
now to try the straps.
Oh, no, you don't, Sloan!
Stick up behind me, will you?
You...
I don't think so. Too bad, Miss Lane, that I'm your only audience now. That I'll be a very appreciative one. And now to pull the switch. It generates a little power.
Oh, no! No, please!
Please, please!
No, please.
And this little switch will complete the job.
No!
Dead so soon, my dear? You spoiled my fun. I didn't even pull the switch. Well, a little extra juice won't hurt you. I just have to...
Not so fast, Detective Sloan.
My voice, my arm. Who holds my arm?
The Shadow murderer. What have you done to Miss Lane?
Something that even you can't mend, Shadow.
Sloan, your life of crime is at an end.
If it is, I won't pay the police for the deaths of Roan and the Vitors, and above all, Miss Lane. The privilege of taking my own life rests with me.
Get away from that master switch.
Thanks, no, Shadow. I'd rather go this way.
Thank heaven, Margot. When you fainted, Sloan thought you were dead and didn't complete his job.
Yes, thank heaven, Lamont.
I'll never forgive myself for sending you to that trap when I was stupidly following the trail of Detective Destro.
He was perfectly all right?
Perfectly. It was Sloan who had no right to wear a badge. He'd gotten on the Detroit force with the aid of false credentials. Sooner or later, he would have been discovered, but now his days of killing are over.
Oh, Lamont, I just thought of something.
What?
I got a call from the Social Service League again this morning, and they're holding another meeting.
Oh, good for them.
They want to know why I didn't get Commissioner Weston to speak to them the last time.
Uh-huh. On crime prevention, its cause and cure?
Yes. So I told them I was getting someone else, someone better.
Who's the poor goat this time, Margo?
I told them I was getting you.
Well, that's right. Oh, no, you're not, Margo.
Oh, yes, I am, Lamont.
And that's The Shadow from November 16th, 1941, with the case of the three frightened policemen starring Bill Johnstone.